Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Glad you're along today. A couple of programs we have planned for you today. A little bit later on in the show, we'll be talking about the Galileo scope and the Perseid meteor shower. Just a little bit ago, you were hearing from John Munson and his guest, Greg Easterbrook, talking about asteroids or comets actually slamming into Earth. Well, we're going to be talking with you at about 11:45 today about the Perseid meteor shower, which is coming up in a week, next week, as a matter of fact. And we're also going to be talking about the Galileo scope. The Galileo scope is something that inexpensive telescope kit. I sent in my check for $20 a couple, 3 months ago, and it arrived actually at our home in, let's see, sometime, was it Monday of this week? Might have been Monday of this week. And so I put it together, my wife and I put it together, and we've had it out and we've been using it. I took a look last night or the night before last at the moon, and I was amazed at the picture you get through that 50-millimeter lens. It was really, really something. So that's what's coming up a little bit later on in the program. Right now, we are trying to reach Andrew Bleckman, who is the author of the book Leisureville, Adventures in a World Without Children. It's published in paperback by Grove Atlantic Press. And Dave Protratz, our on-air producer here, is filling in, and we had a little trouble with the numbers. So the phone numbers are not what we expected. So we're trying right now as desperately as we can to take a look at that. And this whole business of age-segregated communities is really pretty interesting to me. I had a friend a couple of, several years back now. It's probably about 8 years back. He's an older than me, who retired. He was going to spend his retirement, he and his wife were going to spend their retirement years in Wisconsin. And he had a place in Madison, and he had a small cabin in northern Wisconsin where he loved to go fishing. But they spent about, they went to Florida for about, a month or so vacation, month or two vacation at the Villages. And a place called the Villages. It's north of Orlando, Florida. And they came back from that fully energized. They sold their places here and moved straight away to the Villages, where my friend, who hadn't golfed before, took up golf. Golf is one of the big attractions of the Villages, I think, for a lot of retired people. And has, frankly, been really, and they both have been really enjoying their life at the Villages. But what's it like to live in a retirement community where there are children, no children, I should say. I guess children are allowed, people under 55 are allowed to come in and stay for about 30 days. They are, tell you what, then they have to leave. They can't stay for longer than 30 days. I guess they can come and go for a week or two at a time here or there. But then they have to go. Then they have to go out and away from this place called the Villages. Well, Andrew Bleckman has written a book about this whole thing. As I mentioned, the title of the book is called Leisureville, Adventures in a World Without Children, published in paperback by Grove Atlantic Press. I wanted to mention that he is an award-winning journalist, a reporter, has been a reporter for the LA Times, the Des Moines Register, and his first book, I interviewed him about his first book, which I really enjoyed, was titled Pigeons, The Fascinating Saga of the World's Most Revered and Reviled Bird. And I tell you what, I really enjoyed the book, and I enjoyed visiting with him. And so when Leisureville came out, it was in hardcover, and when it came out in paperback, I decided we had to get him back on. And I hadn't read the book yet and finished reading it last week. And entertaining and some ways troubling kind of look at a world without children. And of course, I have a 6-year-old, so it's hard for me to imagine a world without kids. But Andrew Bleckman wrote about it, and I think we have him. Andrew, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Hey, great to be able to talk with you again.
Yes, of course. Wonderful.
I tell you what, I really did enjoy reading your book, and we have an online community of listeners, and I posted a question about whether or not people would live in a retirement community or what they plan to do with retirement. We've got a few comments about that as we go along here. I'll probably read a few of them, but set the stage for our listeners here. Tell us how you happened to write this book.
Well, I always seem to trip across my topics. With the pigeon book, I was just getting a tuna sandwich in New York, and some guy starts talking to me about his racing thoroughbreds, and it turns out he's talking about his pigeons. With this one, this book, Leisureville, my neighbors, who really were like, they looked like to be like community lifers, like they were going nowhere. And they went off and took a little, early retirement trip to Florida, and they never really came back. It was in the middle of winter, and by February there was a for sale sign on their house. And, with the economy being what it is, they weren't able to sell it right away. So they finally came back just to kind of get ready to sell. And it took them about a year, but during that time they kept telling me all these stories about a place I couldn't imagine. And it's a place called The Villages. It's the world's largest retirement community. It's gated. It's about twice the size of Manhattan. It's got two and a third downtown planned. They're themed by entertainment specialists. They literally have music coming out of the rocks and the lampposts. They have about 36 golf courses, and I'm sure they're building more at this point. They seem to put a new one in every couple months. And it's basically, and it's gated. And you can live there if you're 55 or older, but if you're 19 and younger, you're verboten. I mean, you can't live there. And God forbid someone in your family's orphaned, they can't come live with you. It's children can visit, but they receive guest passes, and they're really the equivalent of international visas because they do time out.
And they time out in 30 days, isn't it?
Well, it depends on the community. I mean, that's about as long as they go. In the Villages, they time out after about 4 weeks, but a lot of communities, it's three, some are two. Depends.
Well, I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. Here's the number to call with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can also email us at talk@wpr.org. And give us, you went and you lived there for about a month, didn't you?
I did. I lived there and I lived out in Arizona for about 2 weeks at the world's first AIDS-segregated community, which is Sun City and Youngtown right next door. But, yeah, I lived in the Villages. I went down there to live with my neighbors for a while. They invited me, and it was it's an odd world. I mean, you take a golf cart everywhere, and you can take a golf cart really for an hour. Everything's inside the gates, even the Walmart. Most people, I think 99% of people don't leave on a daily basis. They don't ever leave the community. And of course, surrounded on the outside is rural Florida, what was rural Florida, with people literally basically living in trailers and, the kind of people they used to call crackers who ate squirrel in the old days. And now they're just, it's a real poverty area. And so it's a huge dichotomy between the two. But, yeah, I was there, and I lived with them, and I lived with Mr. Midnight, one of the characters in my book, who was that was basically the mothership bachelor pad, ground zero for bachelordom in the Villages. And don't forget, the Villages has about 100,000 people, so it's a really big place.
And what do people do in the Villages?
Well, there's a lot of partying. I mean, some people just live quiet lives like they would anywhere else, but or just like get up really early and try to be the first ones on the golf course, or take some continuing education. But there's also a huge like kind of fiesta atmosphere. It's basically like college, except there's no classes, and every day is Saturday night. There is no general rhythm. I guess the only really quiet time might be Sunday morning, and that's about it. Everyone's 55 or older. They have very few basic day-to-day worries. They're mostly retired. And it's kind of like bread and circus there. They have free live entertainment usually, and the alcohol is somehow seemingly subsidized. So people go out. I mean, I was at a karaoke bar drinking pitchers of beer with a lot of seniors until 2 in the morning.
Well, so and as I think you pointed out in your book at some point, Saturday night isn't necessarily the big night because any night can be you haven't worked all week.
Monday's huge. Monday's also huge. It's every night. I mean, it's literally, I mean, for some people it's heaven. But, I mean, you know, I mean, I thought I had to leave. I thought my liver was going to explode. I couldn't keep up.
Well, what, aside from the liver issue, there are some things that you found that you did not find, let's say you found them distasteful. Is that correct? As you looked at it, the sociology of the place?
Well, as I see it, it's discrimination. I don't know how you can justify a community that you have to be 55 or older, one person in the household has to be 55 or older. I mean, you can have a young honey who's in her 20s or he's in his 20s, but there's no children at all. They may not live there. I mean, even if they're orphaned, they cannot live there. Yeah, and then, you know, there's no birth announcements, there's no graduation ceremonies, there's no kiddie playgrounds, there's no Boy Scout, there's no Little League, there's just nothing like that. There's no tricycles. All of that part of life has been edited out. So, you know, it's pretty plain vanilla after a while. I mean, you're basically surrounded by people that are a whole lot like you.
And for some people, that's reassuring. Somebody emailed in our community of listeners and said that they used to enjoy spending time at an RV, particular RV park, until they stayed there during an Easter vacation, and then they said the park became overrun by children running through campsites, preventing people from using the pool or the recreation facilities and so on. And she says, my grandchildren, of course, are perfect and would not disturb anyone, but yours, that's another question. So,
well, you know, it's true. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I think the world's become a less civil place. You know, and I don't know, they always say children today, but, you know, the children today are the products of the children of yesterday and the children of, like, the yesterday before that. So, I mean, we are responsible for who we raise. And you know, what's the solution? I guess wealthy people go to gated communities, or if you're really wealthy, you have your own private island. But what happens if everyone starts segregating out? I mean, they used to say, you know, black people were unruly, or, you know, they were uncomfortable being around Jews or Asians. You know, how do things get better if they're only going to get worse?
Well, let's take some calls. A lot of callers online, and I want to go to Dorothy in Presque Isle, I believe, first. Dorothy, hi.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling.
We tried calling right at the beginning of the show. Maybe we could bail you out a little bit before your author came on. Just wanted to let you know that we're in a part of this, too, but a little different range. We live in a little place called Auburndale, Florida. We go there for the winters after our little cabin up here starts to get cold enough. And we only have 200 homes in our park. We're a 55 and older gated community. We're in a modular side-by-side home. We have two bedrooms, two baths. The house is $35,000. We have wonderful neighbors down there. Our park can never get any bigger because it only holds the 200 houses. Our taxes run us about $80 a year. We have two bedrooms, two baths. We love the people. I've had knee surgery and that, and I think for 3 weeks after I had surgery, I never cooked a meal. There was always a hot meal at the house. We have a lot of activities that go on in the clubhouse. Our kids are allowed to come down whenever they want. They can't stay for more than 2 weeks in a row, but they could come down a couple times a year if they wanted to. They love coming down to visit us because we're halfway between Tampa and Orlando. Mm-hmm. And so they stay with us, go to the park. Sometimes we go with them. Sometimes Grandma and Grandpa are too pooped to go.
So it sounds like you're having a great time.
We are, and we just love it. Like I say, we've just decided we don't like the Wisconsin cold anymore, but we love the Wisconsin summers, other than this year. It's the coldest summer I think we've had for a while.
Well, Dorothy, thanks a lot for calling. Any comment, Andrew?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, I'd say, you know, it's good to hear that you're enjoying your retirement. You know, and I can fully understand why people are going to these communities. I mean, particularly if you're in the cold weather. Sadly, it's a shame that to enjoy ourselves we end up in age-segregated communities. But, you know, I can understand why someone want to go to community. I think at this point, the majority of Americans live in suburban sprawl. It's a very difficult place to age in place. It's very alienating. You have to get in your car to do anything. People don't see their neighbors as much. Americans are very, you know, they're very transitive. They're always moving from job to job, state to state. And taxes keep going up and up because, you know, neighborhoods get, you know, get younger and younger over time. So I mean, I can see why people do it. I'm just concerned about what happens. I mean, for example, as a journalist, I'm always supposed to look at all sides of an issue. Mm-hmm. I went to the birth of age-segregated communities, and it was really started out as a utopian place, exactly as your caller described it. It was in the middle of the Arizona desert, about 14 miles outside of Phoenix. At this point, Phoenix actually touches it. That's how much sprawl there is out there. Mm. And, you know, so several years into it, about 20, 30 years into it, there was a kid named Chaz, and he was getting beat up by his stepfather at his home in Phoenix. I mean, so his grandparents tried to take him in, and they had to literally petition the town council for permission to take their grandson in. They were granted permission, but it was like 3 months, and they actually had a placard put on their front lawn saying that they were housing a juvenile. After 3 months, he said, look, you know, Chad only has about 8 months left of high school, and he'll be an adult. He can live on his own. May he stay here, because he can't really go back home. It's a bad, bad situation. And the town council voted no, and they fined them $100 every day that he remained there. And, you know, Chaz was basically reduced to the status of human contraband. So, I mean, that's what happens when something goes wrong. I mean, sure, it's a lot of fun. There's great communities there. But what happens when, like, the unexpected happens? You know, and I also worry, I have a real deep concern about separating out the generations. I mean, a lot of these people in these communities are not old. I mean, mm-hmm. people 75 and older, they do have special needs. You know, they worked hard, they want to be around people their own age, a slower pace of life. I fully understand that. But a lot of the people, the villages are just 55. I mean, that's nowhere near old these days. And with the crisis in the housing market, a lot of these places are arbitrarily just lowering the age to 45, which not only is it against federal law, and, you know, and I'm told HUD is looking into it, but it's not only is it against the law, but you know, how do you justify a community that only allows people 45 or older?
Why would you – now, you need to explain why would it be against the law –
Because age segregation actually is protected by statutory federal law. I mean, believe it or not, it's part of the Federal Housing Act, part of the anti-discriminatory legislation, which is hard to believe because, you know, that says, you know, you can't discriminate against veterans, you can't discriminate against women, the handicapped, and that sort of thing. But you can discriminate against children. And that was part of the senior lobby, people who had these houses, they already had these housing developments. And they got it passed, and 55 was the age that was chosen. At the time, it was seen as a semi-victory because it was actually raised from an arbitrary 50. Basically, there was no age, but it was generally 50 was agreed upon. So it went up to 55. But these days, you know, there's just no sense in it. So basically, these communities can, you know, it's a fluke in the law, to be perfectly honest. So these people, the developers, can create communities where they said, look, you can come in our community. You don't ever have to worry about, pesky teenagers or little kids peeing in your pool. And we'll buff out the rough edges in life. And you can come here, and it's legal.
Andrew Bleckman, our guest today, author of the book Leisureville, Adventures in a World Without Children. It's published in paperback by Grove Atlantic Press. I'm Larry Mueller. Dave Potratz, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll take some more calls. Mary Alice in Dundee is up next. So let's go to Mary Alice. Hi, Mary Alice.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I winter in the villages, and I just want to comment that, yes, indeed, it is a senior community, but it is very diverse population from people of all economic situations from across the country, even Canada and England, and with a lot of different talents and education backgrounds. And even though we have the different backgrounds and maybe different types of housing in the community, we all participate and use the same facilities, the rec centers, the sports, and so forth. And I also want to comment that is very family-friendly. Our children come frequently because it's a wonderful vacation for them. They have specific family pools and areas for the children to participate in activities. And I also want to comment how many of the people there reach out to the surrounding communities in a very charitable way. They support the food pantries in the outlying area. They help at the charter school. They participate in Relay for Life. There is constantly benefits and charitable functions going on throughout the community. So these are my my comment.
Well, I thank you very much for calling, Mary Alice. Andrew Blackman, a comment from you.
Well, look, I've met a lot of wonderful people in the villages, and I don't blame anyone for living there. It's a very pleasant lifestyle, and there's a lot of great people there. I wouldn't say it's tremendously diverse. I mean, there is some economic diversity, but I think it's about 98% white, and certainly no gay community. But it depends on how you define diversity. But it's just kind of an irony. How do you define family friendly? I mean, is a place family friendly if they outlaw families?
Well, they don't really. Well, they outlaw them. Outlaw is probably the wrong word.
They're not allowed to live there. I mean, the problem is, and things do happen. I mean, look what happened to Chaz. And I don't know. How does one? For me, it's basically this. I mean, sometimes it works very well, but sometimes it doesn't. And it is utopian. There's no doubt about it. People who are there really enjoy it. But there's also a lot of stuff going on. For example, they don't even have a real government. And a lot of people just didn't care for the longest time that it was really a fake developer-run government. But now the IRS is coming in there, and they're saying, well, guess what? It's not a real government. And they're looking into about $300,000 in misappropriated, apparently, bond funds. They were getting non-tax municipal bonds. And that's not the case. I mean, these places, it's a hard... when it comes down to it, I just worry about separating people out. Mm-hmm. There's just something about segregation that doesn't feel right. And, look at the bills that are coming down the pike. We're at $11 trillion in debt. Guess who's going to be paying for that?
Yeah.
How well are these people, how interested are today's youth in paying for that? If they're only allowed to visit their elders, or people who are age 55 and older are just opting out, or 45 and older, at some of these communities now.
Let's go to Karen in Fond du Lac next. Karen, hi to you. Thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
my comment, may not be too well received by the folks who are thrilled about living in the retirement communities. But I'm well over 70, and my husband and I winter where it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I would say is that when you set up a community with no children, you don't have to worry about schools. And when you don't need schools, you don't need to support them. And so it does indeed make it less expensive, which I find I have the same problem with it that the author does. Both my husband and I have driven through the community which refused to house Chaz. That is a strange place. If you drive through for any length of time, there are no young people. Mm-hmm. And it is, for some people, they may like that. I thought it was eerie. I really thought it was eerie. Because we were invited to come out and think about buying a place there. We actually rent and have for many years a condominium unit in an older section of Mesa, Arizona. And it is open to families. It's open to the elderly. And it's a much more average place to be. Mm-hmm. We have found it to be more comfortable and perhaps more unusual. One last comment. I know personally a couple who live in the villages in Florida, and both of them still work. So it's not everybody there is retired.
No. Thanks for your comments, Karen. Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to say she's dead on. I mean, it's really weird to be in these communities. They look like something out of Leave It to Beaver, but Beaver's nowhere to be seen. I mean, everything's tidy. There's little picket fences. The lawns, you can't find a weed anywhere. But there's no children. There's no tricycles. There's no baseball mitts on the lawn. There's no jungle gyms. You know, there's just basically no children. Children visit, but it's very different when children are only visiting. So, yeah, there is that. And the reality is, too, they are a lot of these communities are predicated on the fact that you pay less taxes. A good example would be Sun City. All right, Sun City and Youngtown, for that example, you know, for that matter, which is right next door. Sun City was in the middle of the desert, like Youngtown was, until Phoenix grew up to it, and it became surrounded by, you know, normal communities, traditional communities with all ages. You know, there was no segregation per se, and you know, they formed a school system, and the elderly did not, you know, they would vote down every single school bond issue. And they were a potent force, you know. They, you know, I can see they're on fixed incomes. I can see it, but the reality is, their school is paid for. We have to pay for the next generation's school. You know, and it hurts, but it's just how it works. You know, children are the future. They are hope. You know, without children, we don't have a future, and we spiral down into like what we don't want our kids to become. Anyway, they defeated 17 school bond measures in 12 years. Kids were going in three shifts a day to school in trailers because they didn't have enough buildings. There were trailers serving as classrooms. Finally, the school district said, you know what? Fine. You guys could just de-annex. It was the only way they were going to get a school bond measure passed. So to this day, like the 40,000 people in Sun City, and then there's the other Sun City, so it's more like it's closer to 100,000 people in all these different Sun Cities in the area, are not paying any school taxes, nothing. And a lot of the times these kids are living across the street, you know, across like, you know, a big road on the other side where the other community begins. That's what I worry about. And I don't think, you know, I just think that, you know, when you separate people, they forget what they have in common. And I do think it can build up resentments. Look, there are a lot of shiny, happy stories about people really enjoying themselves and about, you know, grandkids who like to go visit, you know, grandma in the warm weather. But, you know, what happens when things go wrong? You know, when you peel back the veneer, you realize that these places are predicated on a form of discrimination.
Richard and Nina, we'll go to you next. Hi, Richard.
Hi. Yeah, my parents, many years, went back and forth to Century Village in Florida, which is also a huge, not as big as the villages, but a big retirement community.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they started going there about 30 years ago when they were probably about 60 years old.
Okay.
Well, now they're 90, and they can no longer make the trips back and forth to Florida. One thing I've noticed over the years is for the relatively younger people there, let's say up to age 75 or so,
yes,
who can enjoy a lot of the golf and the facilities and all that, they seem to enjoy it a lot more than the people who are, let's say, 75 or 80 or above, because the social life kind of falls apart. Many of their friends are died or can no longer make it down there, and it just and also the buildings are aging, and you tend to have less money as you get older. And at least what I've seen in Century Village is the whole thing kind of falls apart to some extent.
That's exactly my next point. Yeah,
they too had a clubhouse with all kinds of entertainment. Well, a hurricane blew through, and the clubhouse was destroyed. And that was, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago. It's never been rebuilt. And you see some pools. Well, the pool is pretty well maintained. You don't have a lot covered with algae, but a lot of them are basically closed. And it's just kind of a snapshot. It works for 10 or 15 years, and then the neighborhoods tend to fall apart.
Hmm. Well, thanks for calling. And I know, Andrew, you wanted to comment on that.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, exactly my point. Thank you for thank you to the caller. These places don't age well. They are utopias. You know, you can't, you know, and utopias don't age well. Basically, people are going there to pay as little as possible, you know, understandable. But that means they're not reinvesting in the communities. So they do have a really beautiful lifespan of like 10, 15 years, maybe 20. But eventually, people don't want to pay anything to keep it up. For example, and then you start, okay, talking about, you know, generational conflict. At Sun City, it's happening between the young old and the old old. Not just the old and the young. It's happening within the community itself now. You have the old who do not want to pay a penny to renovate the place. And the young old are saying, like, look, we need new facilities. We're not going to attract new homeowners. The place is just going to fall apart. You know, it's a product. If you can't sell it, there's a lot of competition. The place just becomes a derelict neighborhood after a while. And the old are like, you know, we don't want to, you know, who are we investing in? You know, more seniors? We don't want it. Who cares? And so the place, you know, was really at the threat of of that sort of kind of collapse. They seem to be getting some bond measures through. Interestingly, they're trying to put all the cost on new home buyers, you know, like an impact fee. And yet the old still don't want it because it might raise the value of their homes. They don't want to pay any more in property taxes.
No.
So these places do not age well. I mean, look, it's utopian. I mean, you can't have your cake and eat it, too. You can't just pull out of society and everything's dandy.
Yeah. Richard, I thank you for calling. I want to go to Bud in Menasha. Bud, hi to you.
Fine. I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I live in the Villages part of the year for the past 11 years. And I want you to know that we do have schools. We have the Villages Elementary School, the Villages Middle School, the Villages High School. And they're nice deluxe schools, and as a former teacher, I can tell you they are deluxe. A major portion of my taxes goes to support those schools. We don't have children, per se, living in the Villages, but the Villages has a lot of workers, mm-hmm. and workers have children. And some parts of the community are set aside for the workers to live. And those children, I get first grab at going to the Villages Charter School. And then the next people who are selected for the Villages Charter School are the children of contractors to the village developer. And finally, if they still have room, then they go out and select just anybody, but being a good athlete helps. So we do have schools, we do pay taxes, a major portion of taxes, and we do have children living in the Villages in some areas of the Villages.
Thanks for calling. Andrew, did you?
Yeah, no, it's true. The Villages does have these schools. They are charter schools. They were basically designed, the developer is really anti-government, so he didn't want public schools. He wanted to be able to control the schools a little bit more. And he did build nice schools, but he built them for his workers because they had to have somewhere to bring their kids. And the kids can't live right there in the community. They can live in developments outside the community. And it's true. You know, they do pay taxes there. Like, you know, I'm just using the Villages as an example because it's the world's largest community, and it's a lot of fun. And it's like, you know, it's a fun yet silly place. That's why I wrote about it. But, you know, what the caller didn't say is that, you know, there's a very potent voting block in the Villages. You're looking at 80,000 people or so. It's supposed to grow out to 110. And a lot of them are in one rural county. It actually goes through three counties, but a lot of them are in one county. Well, they've taken over the county politically with the developer, you know, encouragement. The developer owns the newspaper. He owns the radio station. He owns the magazine. And he pumps his news literally out of lampposts. It's a daily newspaper. It looks like a real newspaper, and he basically prints anything he wants, and it looks just like a newspaper. The radio station feels like a normal radio station, but he basically owns and influences everything at that point. So he's able to, you know, kind of work on the vote and get people elected who he wants. And they've taken over the county, like county council for this. It's basically all villagers or people who are allied with the developer who now are in charge of the power in the county. And they can do anything. They can pick the sheriff or you know, the assessor, anybody. And what they've done is, you know, they basically, and they're just a little piece of the county, although population-wise, they're a huge chunk. They're closing parks. I mean, they're doing all sorts of not particularly family-friendly things. And there are families in the county are like, what happened? We're disenfranchised. You know, and they are putting their interests first. They're putting the Villages first. In fact, they're looking to move the whole county, the whole seat of government from the center, geographic center of the county, which is about 45 minutes away, and it's been there for 100-some years. They're looking to move it to the Villages. So everyone in the county, in the south of the county, has to travel like an hour just to go to a county office.
I want to give some others a chance to join in and ask questions here. One of the next call, well, let's go to Rachel. Rachel in Verona, we'll go to you. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I like the gated village idea myself. My parents and my grandparents, they had kind of gotten into an older community area. They got to be independent a whole lot longer. They do tend to take care of themselves. They like the idea, you know, of your support group. You're playing with people of your own age, you know. And I know as for, like, my nervous grandmother and such, she wasn't worried about running over children, or my other grandmother ran over my bike once because her eyesight wasn't so well. I mean, I see where, yes, the government end of it maybe isn't so good, but I remember not that long ago in, like, Wisconsin Dells, an older woman, her son took the keys away, and she found another pair, and then they took the battery out, but somehow she put it in, and with her dementia, she doesn't remember driving, ran over, like, four children. To me, if there's a safe place to keep them without actually having to be in a nursing home, I think it's more power to them.
I couldn't agree more.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Mike in Fitchburg, we'll go to you. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
And what's on your mind?
Yeah, I am almost 75. I want to say first that I'm a lawyer, and I've got no problem with people full advantage of whatever laws there are and loopholes in them, you know, to benefit themselves. I'll tell you what, our personal choice, my wife and I, she's almost as old as I am. We had a four-bedroom house in Madison, raised four children, and they were all gone. We downsized to a two-bedroom house, but there wasn't nearly enough room for one of our passions, which is gardening. And we built a house 10 years ago when we were 65-ish on 10 acres in the country. We have a wonderful set of neighbors who range in age from, I don't know, 8 to 80-some. A really diverse rural community. And I would hate to live in a place where everybody was sort of my age or older or slightly younger, you know, 55 or 45 plus, and whichever way it breaks out. We did, about 15 years ago, manage of a developer's offer to fly to Florida, and they put us up for a couple nights, and they looked at this community where they were selling lots, really got the hard sell, and decided not to move there for three reasons. We didn't want to live with a bunch of old people. That was number one. This place was centered on golf, which neither of us play. That was number two. And they all appeared to be Republicans, which was not much of a community for us.
Well, but
that's my 10 cents worth.
All right. Thanks for calling. Andrew?
Yeah, a couple things. One is, you know, the first caller, I mean, I think she was dead on in terms of older people have special needs. You know, and unfortunately, our society does not treat them well and does not provide for them very well. And everyone just wants to move faster, and they're starting to move slower. And a lot of times they're ignored. I mean, look at our nursing homes. I mean, they're a fright. And a lot of people are not respectful to their elders. So, it has been sent that sometimes these communities exist. But my problem is, my concern is that those people are actually old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about people who are 55, and sometimes, you know, you might have a husband or wife who's just 35 or 45. You know, why not, like, people naturally segregate, but why not make it age-targeted, for example, which exists. My parents live in an age-targeted community. The community itself actually voted whether they wanted to age-segregate, and each time it comes out for a vote, it's defeated. And so they've just left it age-targeted. Age-targeted might mean that there's no housing there that has more than two bedrooms. For example.
Oh.
But children are allowed. There's school buses that go up and down, and it just is what it is. Now, age target doesn't bother me at all. I mean, since when was segregation a good idea? I mean, in reality, in our heart of hearts, you talk to anyone at the Villages, the heart of hearts, when you really get past the fact that they talk about all the charity they do and how they're proud of one of the local schools, everyone's a little bit uneasy about it.
Hmm. Well, Andrew, you've written we've got a pretty serious discussion going here today, but you've written an entertaining book.
Yeah, I know. we got so serious so quickly.
we got so much of the entertaining part of it. I wish we'd had time to talk about. But I tell you what, people can take a look at your book and read it and figure it out for themselves. Thanks a lot.
I mean, there is a lot of fun in the book. I mean, it's actually kind of a laugh out loud book at half the time.
I know.
I mean, that's funny. I mean, Mr. Midnight, you know, I mean, he's like, you know, he's this aging Adonis who, you know, just every woman just melts before him. And he's a great guy. I mean, who would have thought that the STD rates are like the highest in the aging community versus like drug users? It's the fastest growing community with sexually transmitted diseases. I mean, people are having fun there. And I chronicle it, you know, and I spend a lot of time hanging out with them at night, and meet a lot of, you know, a really, it's a funny place. It's a Disneyland for adults.
Thanks, Andrew, for being with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Andrew Bleckman is author of Leisureville, Adventures in a World Without Children. It's published in paperback by Grove Atlantic Press. And I'd like to, we had a lot of people who we didn't have a chance to talk to. So I hope you'll go online to our online community of listeners at WPR.org. Let us know what you think about retirement communities. Would you live there? Do you live there? Why do you live there? Also, there are online, one of our posters posted a couple of reviews of Andrew's book, Leisureville. Interesting reviews, I thought, and certainly worth a read as well. So get online to our online community of listeners and join in there and put in your 2 cents worth. I'd love to hear what you have to think about these age-segregated communities like the Villages, and to hear what others and to read what others have to say as well. Great to have him with us today. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.